Fourth and final hour here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Down on the Plains, Saturday night, 6 o'clock kickoff. It'll be shown on ESPN, Vols, and Auburn Tigers. Auburn coming in 4-2. And to learn a little bit more about them, John Zehner, who covers the Tigers for the Associated Press, is on the line with us. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Obviously, their game last week was postponed. There were four games in the SEC that did not take place last Saturday. Auburn and Mississippi State was one of those games. Right. So they've had that week off. They're through six games in their schedule, sitting there at 4-2. How would you assess Auburn's season to this point?
Well, first off, there's pretty much two teams in the SEC where you don't want the game to be postponed or canceled, and that's Mississippi State and Vanderbilt. So that is probably disappointing for them. I think that they've had, like a lot of Auburn teams under Gus Malzahn, they've had an up-and-down season. They looked pretty bad. Bo Nix had a few interceptions against South Carolina, looked pretty bad in that game, had some games where the call had gone the other way, officiating call had gone the other way, they could have lost two or three more games. So it's been up and down, and then they play against an LSU team that's struggling so badly and look like world beaters. So we're going to see which Auburn team shows up. And really, it's really kind of hard to predict with this team, like a lot of Auburn teams.
Yeah, kind of like college football this season.
Right.
It's really, really everybody. What would you say right now, what would you identify as their strength, and what would you identify as their weakness through six games?
Well, right. Well, I think, you know, their secondary and their defense has improved a lot. They didn't look great all that early in the season. Got a good shutdown corner in Roger McCreary. They've got some defensive linemen who are making plays. Linebacking core was obviously strengthened, and then they lost K.J. Britt. So I think the defense has made strides. Obviously, they look really good in run defense and everything against LSU. You know, we'll see if they sustain that and all that. But I think the strength of the team has been the running game lately. All the talk in the preseason was about Bo Nix, and he didn't look all that great at times early in the season. And then they've got this freshman Tank Bigsby, and I think they've got four straight 200-yard rushing games. When early in the season they weren't doing all that well at it with some injuries and inexperience at tailback. But I think with Tank Bigsby and his ability to run and catch some passes, I think that the running game has clearly become kind of their bell cow on the offense, like it has most of the time under Malzahn.
What's the vibe in that market, the fan base around quarterback Bo Nix? What's the feedback on him? What do people say?
Like a lot of quarterbacks, probably like Jarrett, it depends on the week. I don't think that the fan base as a whole, I mean, there are definitely some weeks where they're against him come Monday, come Sunday, that they're sick of him and they want a different quarterback. I don't know who, but somebody different. But then other weeks, he has games like LSU where he was like 18 of 24, 300 yards, had a 91-yard touchdown pass, and some other games where he made plays running, probably some of the plays where he should have been more patient and not run, taking off running. But I think the jury's still out. I don't think there's a lot of Auburn fans who think he's going to be the next superstar quarterback anymore, and that was obviously the hype among that fan base as a five-star recruit, son of a former Auburn quarterback. But I think the jury's still out. He still has some maturation to do. He's still only a sophomore. As many games as he started, that's not always, it's understandable. People don't want to take that as an excuse. But I think if anybody who watched him play, you kind of have a mixed take on him. You're not sure if he's going to develop, if he's into a more consistent quarterback. He's obviously got the ability. But I think, I hate to keep repeating it, but the jury's still out and the opinions change week after week with him.
John Zehner is with us from the AP talking Auburn. So why do you think that is? Because Bo Nix, I remember talking to a ton of people about him, and it's like, yeah, he's the right guy. He's the next big thing. I mean, is it him or is it Gus's development and the coaching staff development and use of him? Is it the pieces around him or maybe all of the above?
I would say probably all of the above. I think you put Tom Brady behind a bad offensive line, which they've had at times the last couple of years, and he's not going to look like Tom Brady either. So I think that's part of it. I think the running game that took a while to get off the ground, so to speak, and the I think that's part of it. I mean, it's all a factor when you're evaluating the quarterback. You have to look at how people are playing in front of them and around them. But you know, Gus Malzahn, I mean, it's obvious the track record from Kyle Frazier, former five-star recruit out of Arkansas, then to Jeremy Johnson, to all these guys. We never got to see Cam Newton in year 200, Gus, but there are legitimate questions about the development of Auburn quarterbacks since Gus has taken over, because there hasn't been one that got better that I can think of that got better in his second year. Even Jarrett Stidham, Nick Marshall and everything, they were probably better his first, you know, their first season under him. So that's a legitimate question about developing those quarterbacks. And maybe Bo will kind of prove that that's just, that it doesn't, that past track record doesn't mean anything. Maybe he will continue to develop under Gus and Chad Morris. Just have to wait and see.
As you said, it's been an up and down year for Auburn. It feels like whenever you have an SEC coaching discussion, Gus's name is always on the potential warm seat, hot seat, however you want to put it.
Right.
And it's also been brought up, well, in a COVID year, it could be a pass. Well, we just saw South Carolina make a change with Will Muschamp, and they moved on from him. So what is the pulse right now with Gus Malzahn? What has to happen down the stretch? Is it simply they get lucky and beat Alabama and he wins another Iron Bowl and that keeps him, or is there more to it?
That's certainly – well, I mean, if he beats Alabama, it's hard to imagine them making any kind of move. You know, the financial thing really is real, but if they want him gone bad enough, they'll pay the $20 million or whatever it is. I think, you know, first off, the games down the stretch are all, you know, leading up to the Alabama game are all winnable. I assume Auburn would be favored up until that game, but I don't know. You know, that Mississippi State game, you know, that felt like Auburn was probably going to be 5-2, still ranked top 20, you know, coming out of last weekend, assuming the Mississippi State didn't all of a sudden get it together. So those kind of games you kind of need on your resume this year. But I don't know. I think that there's always going to be a push. They're going to play badly like they have at times this year, and Auburn fans are going to turn on them. And then he's going to win a game he's not supposed to, or they're going to have a dominant performance like they did against LSU, and everybody's going to love him again. I think the jury, like on Bo Nix, the jury's still out on him and his future at Auburn. I think a decent finish, whatever that means, another two or three wins. I mean, assuming they get all the games in, you would think that they would not want to pay $20 million to get rid of a guy who's had some really good seasons at Auburn this year. But this is college football. You wouldn't think that South Carolina Will Muschamp would have once again not make it through a season either. So I don't think in those kind of things you can predict too much. But I do think he controls his own destiny, to use the cliche, because I think it would take a really bad finish, really bad game, you know, losing Alabama 50-0, stuff like that, you know, that to kind of help Auburn make a move this season. But anything could happen.
So a lot is made about the offense and Gus Malzahn, obviously, but what about Kevin Steele's defense? How would you evaluate them so far?
Well, I think they're getting better. I think, you know, run defense in a lot of areas, especially the way they played against LSU, I think they're getting better. That's been the one consistency, as much as Gus Malzahn is known for offense, that since Kevin Steele has been there, the defense has been the consistent force. Game in, game out, they were almost always pretty darn good. I think they're getting there. I think they've had a lot of injury problems on that side of the ball, or COVID problems. You know, we don't always know what's keeping guys out. So they had a lot of, and they lost those two great defensive linemen, Marlon Davidson and Derek Brown. So they had some building to do and no spring to do it. So I think they're getting better. Whether they'll be a typical top 15-10 Auburn defense by the end of the year, but I don't know. But I do think they're showing signs, and they've got some Colby Wooten and some of those guys on the Derek Hall, made some big plays against LSU on the defensive line. So I think they're making strides. I think they probably look pretty good this week, and they're not exactly going against an offensive juggernaut. So so I think they have a decent chance. That doesn't mean Auburn win the game, but you wouldn't think that Tennessee is going to all of a sudden put in 500 passing yards or anything.
We're talking to John Zehner from the Associated Press. He covers Auburn and Alabama and the SEC. And speaking of the offensive juggernaut, John, on the conference call today, Jeremy Pruitt would not announce his starting quarterback.
Right.
How do you think they would – how do you think Auburn will prepare for that? Who do you think they expect to see back there?
I think that every coach uses a lip service. We'll prepare for all of them. And I think they're basically like everybody else. I mean – would expect if assuming Jarrett's healthy, which he seems to be, that he would be the guy again. It'd be hard to imagine that anybody in that last game against Arkansas, you know, a couple interceptions and all that with the other guys. So it'd be hard to imagine him switching them. Now whether he has a quick trigger on him, I have no idea. He might, but if he messes up or something, but you never want a quarterback going up that. Be hard to imagine. You guys know more about it than I do, probably. But you're right. He says, we're not going to tell Auburn who we're starting. But I think Auburn is expecting Jarrett to start, just like he always has this year.
Well, we appreciate it. And, John, we're looking forward to the game on Saturday. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, thank you for having me. Let's hope they actually get to play this time.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed. John Zehner with the Associated Press. Of course, Auburn slated to play Tennessee. A lot of games canceled last week. We are hoping that that's not the case this week. All systems go so far. So let's flip it over to Darren McFarland as we head for the break.
Thank you, Willie. I want to talk to you about Blue Note Juke Joint. You hear me talk about that. You hear me say smoother than smooth. We try to be smoother than smooth on this radio show. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. But if you want to know a little bit more about them, what's cool and what's unique is, one, it's crafted right here in this state, in Memphis, Tennessee, and they're proud of that. It's a small batch bourbon, and it's artfully crafted to honor the blues. That's something that's important to them, and I think that's really cool. That's why you always hear smoother than smooth. It's unfiltered 93 proof. It's available right here in Middle Tennessee, so if you're out there and you would love to try this bourbon, go find some place that you normally frequent here in Middle Tennessee and ask them about that. Plus, it's anywhere in the state. And you might want to try the 9-year bourbon, which I am looking forward to trying. Their Instagram, Blue Note Bourbon. They're also on Facebook. And you know, with the holidays just around the corner, you're looking for a special gift for that bourbon lover right in your circle of friends or family. This would be the perfect gift. Blue Note single barrel selections at liquor stores right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Blue Note Juke Joint. Bourbon, smoother than smooth. Please enjoy responsibly.